Well, by my calculations, we have just 2 hours for 2024 of Dennis Stewart with Health Naturally. Next week, the finale for the year. And Dennis, you're here this week. And of course, great news. Can we give the news already? Can we
What's
do
that?
It?
What's that?
That we've signed you for another 1 year deal. Pending.
Pending.
But generally speaking, you will be back after Christmas.
I'm looking forward to it, Mark.
All right, and why not? Because you've been bringing us some great stuff as of late. You talked about the ginkgo over the last couple of weeks, and this afternoon a couple of other herbs that may sort of act as kind of companions to the ginkgo when it comes to resisting ageing.
I want to talk about Panax ginseng, and I want to talk about the hawthorn berry. I consider ginkgo, ginseng, and the hawthorn berry to be a trilogy that I refer to, a trilogy of anti-aging herbs. And I'm going to justify that. I think we've done it with reference to ginkgo, but I want to do it also with reference to ginseng and hawthorn berry.
Let's go one more. Maybe they're the anti-aging holy trinity. What do you think?
Oh, very well done. Very well done.
I've got a million of them,
Dennis. Very well done.
And we're here to one. From Singleton, Julie, you have a question on neuropathy for Dennis today. What's happening, Julie?
I just wanted to know, is there anything that I can do for neuropathy? I've been to my doctors and done all that, and he's just said, learn to live with it.
Oh, dear, dear. Julie, are you a diabetic?
No.
Okay.
Borderline, but not diabetic.
The only reason I ask that is that there is a certain amount of credible literature to support the use of oil of evening primrose if there is a neuropathy associated with a diabetic diagnosis. And you could Google that and find that what I'm saying is sound. But you're basically saying that you have not been diagnosed with diabetes, but you are borderline.
Yeah.
With your neuropathy, I'll ask you a few questions. How long have you been battling with it, Julie?
Not very long, only about 4 months, I suppose.
Okay. And for the sake
but
it's
really affecting my toes. They're curling over. Yeah, it's really annoying.
Okay. For the sake of listeners, Julie, I'll just mention to listeners that neuropathy is a lack of sensation, if we want to call it that, usually associated with the feet, the toes, but can occur elsewhere. It's associated with the nervous system, a failure of the nerves to convey sensory activity. It's a very difficult condition to treat, and this is why your doctor has been honest in saying that with reference to the modern medical approach, not a lot can be done. But I've said, in the case where it is associated or suspected to be associated with diabetes, a long-term usage of oil of evening primrose is something worthwhile considering. You should raise it with your doctor because he can Google and see the evidence that's there to support this. And if you are borderline, there might be some argument in saying, well, look, I've got nothing to lose. I am borderline. Are you on metformin or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Well, still raise it with him because if it is a borderline case, the long-term usage of high dosages of oil of evening primrose is an inexpensive approach to testing to see whether that you may be a candidate for the use of this substance, which is a herbal substance, oil of evening primrose, needing to be taken in high dose for a long period of time where there is a diabetic contribution to it. Now, outside of that, oil of evening primrose hasn't got a reputation, and I'm not aware of other substances that have a reliable a reputation. However, as a result of my talking about peripheral circulatory problems on this program quite some time ago, I did mention the benefit of capsicum as something to take orally or internally to promote peripheral circulation. I was not talking about neuropathy, but subsequent to that, we had a listener ringing up who said that his use of capsules of capsicum had led to some significant reduction in his sensation associated with a diagnosed neuropathy. Now, that surprised me, although I should say, doing a program like this for many, many years, I become less surprised at what listeners tell me about, how they've worked with herbs, how they've resolved problems, some of which have been hitherto not seen to be capable of being helped. So this gentleman argued, or very strongly put his case for saying, that the reduction in his sensation of neuropathy was associated with his taking of cayenne capsules. Now, cayenne, or capsicum, is a remarkable herb for promoting peripheral blood flow. It is not a neurological herb, but in the case of this gentleman, he said that taking it and the experience of improved peripheral circulation had a neurological benefit. I would suggest two things to you. You discuss primrose oil with your GP. It's a cheap, inexpensive and safe way of testing a possibility, remote as it might be. And also discuss the use. You don't need a script or anything for using cayenne capsules. Now, finally, and I'll be quick, if all that doesn't work, realise that neuropathy can be treated topically and reasonably successfully. And the same herbs that are used to treat facial neuralgia, the same herbs that are used to treat the after effects of shingles, where the nerves have been implicated, inflamed and painful, those herbs, particularly the extract of chili or cayenne, capsicum as we call it, when topically applied, particularly in conjunction with other herbs, but capsicum on its own is as good as anything else. You don't necessarily need to combine it with chamomile or others. You can talk to the pharmacist about using a topical application of chili or capsicum. Zostrix is one product which I've recommended successfully over the years. Zostrix, Zostrix. Very good product. I don't frequently mention products, as you know, but this one has helped so many people for a condition that is very stubborn. Zostrix, I would suggest you talk to the pharmacist, apply it topically, cautiously apply it topically because it can be very warming, but the chemistry behind the constituents in capsicum explain why it can have a deadening effect on neurological pain. Do that, see how you go. You've got everything to gain and really nothing to lose, have you, except the neuropathy.
Best of luck with everything there, Julie, as we head to Mount Hutton. Good afternoon, Anne. You have some swollen legs. What's happening, Anne?
Yes, I do. They're really bad.
Mm.
Dennis, I went to see a vein doctor.
Yes.
And she could see that the legs were starting to swell.
Yes.
And she said it's something to do with iron. I can't remember if she said too much iron or not enough iron. Anyway, they got worse. They went to the doctors and he said no. He said you're not getting enough protein.
Oh, okay. I'd have to think through that. How long have you had the swollen legs?
Oh, it's been a month or so now.
Only a month?
Like tree trunks.
You've never had it before?
No, never.
Okay. Have you discussed with your medical managers any medication that you might be taking?
No, he said it's lack of protein.
Okay. Do you eat meat?
Yes.
You drink milk?
Not enough milk.
But you've got, what I'm trying to say is there is an adequate amount of protein in your system?
I don't know.
Did he give you any information on how to resolve the problem from...
No, he didn't.
He just said that you had too much or not enough protein?
Yes. That's all he said.
Okay. I'd have to think that through. Was this based on a blood test that was that you had had?
No, I didn't have a blood test.
You've had no recent blood tests?
No.
Because I thought there may have been some indication in your blood test about kidney function or things like that, but I can't understand. You have two medical opinions here which seemingly conflict. I will come in with some very simple advice that can't hurt you, but may not help you. I think you really need to pursue the cause of this because it is so suddenly that it has come on. You're not on blood pressure medication?
No, no.
Okay, look, what I'm going to suggest is that you see it from a point of view of blood supply, vein problems, if you like, And what I would suggest you do is take on board what I've said a number of weeks ago, and that is the use of a bioflavonoid called rutin, R-U-T-I-N. Now, rutin is perfectly safe. It's a bioflavonoid. It has fame for promoting effective circulation in very compromised areas. You can get it from your health food store or your pharmacy. You should let your doctor know, but it is a very safe substance. I would see that as a starting base. Capsicum, I spoke about earlier, is renowned as a peripheral circulatory agent, and if there is this swelling situation associated with venous circulation, the use of capsicum should be a companion remedy with rutin. So there's a couple of things. The major herb used clinically for serious vein congestion is horse chestnut. And again, that's fairly readily available. And if you are good on the computer, just Google those three herbs, rutin, capsicum, and horse chestnut. That's the best I can offer for a condition that seems to be contradicted as far as the cause of it is concerned by the medicos that you have seen. I'm puzzled as to why there's so much confusion and very little recommendations as to what you should do.
Yes, I know. And the other problem was very bad catarrh.
Okay.
Really, really bad. So much phlegm every night.
Okay, so you're building up a lot of mucus and phlegm in your system, are you?
Yes.
Okay, look, there's a couple of things that you can do here. Again, I would suggest what you do is look at an enzyme called bromelain. B-R-O-M-E-L-A-I-N. Bromelain is a pineapple enzyme which is famous for its ability to break up congestion, particularly in the upper respiratory tract, and when combined with bioflavonoids, particularly quercetin, is one approach that I use for chronic mucus congestion, particularly in the upper respiratory tract, which may also be implicating the lung. Stock up also on plenty of vitamin C, some useful doses of zinc, but not too much zinc. You have to be cautious as to how much zinc you use. But try that, and in conjunction with what I've said about some of those herbs for your swelling of the legs, you might get a benefit in both areas. But I'm really concerned for you, and I'm suggesting that you pursue diagnosis. The medical explanation must be there, and there has to be a recommendation medically for this condition, which has come on so quickly that it worries me.
In the meanwhile, Dennis, we've got to try and get us a few extra years, as we've discovered that the holy trinity of anti-aging, ginkgo.
That's a lovely term you can put to there.
Ginkgo you've dealt with last week. We're going to try and squeeze through a couple of them. Next on your list.
Okay, look, first of all, people need to know that what we're talking about here with reference to ginkgo and hawthorn is not just folklore. These two herbs, whilst they have been traditional remedies for centuries and centuries, have been, of late, in the modern era, very well documented as far as their chemistry and also very well clinically trialled and written about. So what I'm talking about now is not just some legendary stuff. These two herbs are used in certain parts of the world, particularly in Europe, as part of mainstream medicine, and ginseng in particular is a key remedy used in Chinese conventional medicine and Chinese traditional medicine. And with reference to ginseng, Mark, I can remember, if we see it as one member of this trilogy or this trinity that you concocted today, I remember an experience with ginseng that allows me to very confidently say that it is, in my opinion, both from my reading, study and experience and patient observation allows me to say, yes, it does have an effect on resisting the ageing process. I was in Perth, I'm talking about 15 years, 20 years ago. I was doing a week-long postgraduate program under the auspices of Blackmores. Very hot time it was. The last day of the seminar, one of the attending doctors, a Chinese doctor, invited me out for dinner on the final night of the seminar.
Did he pay?
Oh, yeah, he paid.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. And he was a very good student.
There's any flaws on you, Dennis? They're paying rent.
And Blackmore's always looked after you when they took you away lecturing for them. And I sat down. By the end of the night, however, the conversation became a little bit too medical because my student doctor, the doctor's student, had brought along another doctor. And by the end of the day, they were talking too much medicine. I'd had a few drinks, and the elderly Chinese gentleman there who was the father of the Chinese doctor, and we got on very well. He was interested in what I was doing, and I'd loosened up in my conversation with him. Anyway, as we got into the conversation, I broached the subject with him. Look, how old are you? Now, that might sound a little bit rude, but as I said, it was well in the night and we were happy, put it that way.
I would have forgot about it by the next morning.
But this was a guy that had skin on him that was like a baby's bum, so to speak, smooth and fresh and good looking, a full head of black jet hair and conversational skills, which were brilliant. An ability to express and use English like I'd never heard it before. Now, this gentleman, the following day, this is the clue, the following day was to fly back to Malaysia from Perth to be the personal guest of Dr. Mahathir, who at that stage was the president of Malaysia. And I was taken back by this. I said, all right. I said, look, okay, how old are you? He said, how old do you think I am? And I looked at the guy that, I said, 76 perhaps? And he threw his head back, then he fell off the chair. 76? He said, no, he said, I 87. Now, I nearly fell off the chair because this guy was remarkable. I said, okay.
Hang on, was the falling off the chair due to the responses or due to the empty bottles and glasses?
A bit of both.
Okay.
But the interesting thing was I said to him, hello, what do you put this down to? And I can remember his words beautifully. He said, I scour the world for the best ginseng. And what that meant was, and he told me, once a year he would go to a remote part of China with a group of Chinese people that this was their work, foragers. Mm. He was a rich man. He could afford to do this. So he went there and they went and dug ginseng, the crude herb, and he picked a big specimen, took it back to Malaysia, and that lasted him for a year, and then he would repeat it. He said, and I believe him, this was the clue to his being so healthy and fit at that late stage in life. Is it an anti-aging remedy? I believe when you see evidence like that, you have to sit back and say, hey, there's something in this.
Well, the sound of things, if I get onto this for a year, you'll come in and go, wow, what a sprightly 22-year-old you are, Mark.
Always hope, Mark.
It's always hope. All right, 49216216. It's good. Did he pay for the drinks as well as the meal?
Now, that's a good point. I think it might have been put onto the sponsoring company.
Oh, so you got a free. That's the most important. Like I said before, Dennis, if there's any flies on you, they're paying rent. Dennis, ginseng, that seems to be the word of the day so far, and you've talked about it quite a lot today about its use in anti-aging, but
sure.
Are there some other benefits this may have?
Oh, look, there are many benefits to it. Before I talk about them, I might just say to those out there that are interested in pursuing what I'm talking about today or at any time, let me just mention late in the year a text that is useful to medicos, naturopaths, nurses. Dr. Rudolf Weiss's book, Weiss, the English translation of his German text, simply entitled Herbal Medicine. A lot of what I have picked up over the years and a lot of what I have lectured on has been based on his excellent monographs in that book, which represent both the medical and the natural medicine interpretation of things. And I've drawn heavily on his work when I've spoken about ginkgo. And his monograph on Panax ginseng in that book should put paid to a lot of the sceptics out there who doubt the ability of this herb to do what has been written about it and what has been seen about its use. In Vice's text, it's best, in my opinion, to see it not just as an anti-aging remedy, but as a great herb to address performance. Now, what do I mean by that?
It's a very broad term, Dennis.
That is a broad term.
You want to narrow that up a little bit, tighten that up a bit for us?
Okay. I guess what I'm saying here is it has the capacity to improve physical stamina. And this is putting it in very tame language, but it explains why in Asian athletics, for instance, ginseng has been an accompanying supplement used by Asiatic athletes, particularly Chinese athletes, although the Russian athletes too use a ginseng known as Siberian ginseng. And their success, certainly in past athletics, has been put down to the way in which they've harnessed the ability of ginseng to support the demands of the body to resist fatigue and to support the body's ability to adapt to stress, particularly physical stress, as an athlete would experience. We can also take it further to say that it is a herb that's also been used to address debility states where that has reflected itself in sexual dysfunction. It is a performance-enhancing herb which has been used to address that problem, which is very, very common, particularly in many men. It has a role to play in female conditions where taking it has been shown to be useful during the menopause, particularly where there are a lot of dryness symptoms. The content of ginseng allows it to be seen medically as being useful in these areas. So I put it down, it's not just an anti-aging remedy, it's a tonic remedy that reflects itself in physical states where performance is required, athletic performance, work performance, or where, particularly in the area of sexual activity, both male and female, it has a reputation and an explanation as how it is a useful, I'll only say a useful device to use harmlessly as an ongoing tonic remedy, a great herb that shouldn't just be laughed at. Read the literature, see the potential in it. It's a herb that I prescribe very, very frequently, and many, many people thank me for putting them onto that simple herb, which these days is not that expensive.
And you did all of that with a straight face, played it with a straight bat, Dennis?
I did.
If you know what I mean.
I did. Very clinical.
So any sort of, is this something you've had experience with, this particular ginseng? Is it
from a clinical perspective, clinically. I have prescribed it to many patients.
All right, love it. G'day, Jeff at Holmesville. What's happening with you, Jeff? How can Dennis help you out?
I've got a really bad back.
Yes.
And I think I need anti-inflammatories till I've had the... I'm waiting for a doctor's appointment or a specialist appointment to have a look at it.
Okay.
You know, and there's the nerves are impinged in my back.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm just wondering if there's... Like, I'm an asthmatic and yes. I can't really take Voltaren or anything yes. like that
yeah.
because it affects it, I
think. Understand. Yeah, look, Jeff, yeah. This is not an easy one and I can only make a few suggestions that might be of help and, as far as I'm aware, should not clash with any of the medication that you've mentioned so far.
Yeah.
The pain that you would be experiencing would be very similar, I suspect, to a sciatic pain.
Sometimes it is sciatic it'll go down the left side. You know, I've seen the x-rays, they're pretty, or the scans, they're not very nice.
Not good. Well, you're on the right track. You've lined yourself up to get good medical assistance and help. But in the meantime, what I would be suggesting is that you look at the following herbs, which could be procured easily from a good health food store. We've got many of them in the valley. Or a good pharmacist, many of whom stock these herbs. A herb that is worthwhile thinking about is a herb called Devil's Claw. Devil's Claw, a weird name. I could refer to it by its botanical name as Harpagophytum, but just know it as Devil's
Easy
Claw.
For me to write down Devil's Claw.
Okay. It's a South African herb that was made famous by the Germans when they were in Southwest Africa. It's popularly used in Europe and is packaged in various forms in Europe. It is available here in Australia in a liquid form. As far as I'm aware, it comes in other forms as well. Google it and you'll find that it has a use for dealing with sciatic-type conditions. The other thing that I would recommend also is that in as much that it is a back problem, don't overlook the potential of using glucosamine-based products, which are reasonably priced and easily procured. They work quite differently to Devil's Claw, but would be worthwhile, in my opinion, to start using them. Now, the other thing that I would, mention is that the topical use, of products containing an extract of capsicum, usually accompanied by the herb arnica, is a good way of dealing with the problem. There are numerous products. Stiff, Sore and Sorry is a good one. It incorporates the two herbs. It does work. There's a science behind it. That rubbed around the area where the pain is generated will not solve the problem, but it may well give you some relief from the excruciating pain that you're experiencing. Give that a try. Give it a try, and don't overlook the benefit of that product as a topical use. Give it a few days to kick in, but I have people that swear by it. The combination of arnica and the active principle extracted from capsicum.
Okay. Well, I've been using Panadol, but it's a very sort of like 10% in, you know, improvement after I use it, but that's all.
Well, Panadol wouldn't, in my opinion, wouldn't clash with either the Devil's Claw or the use of glucosamine and chondroitin. Give it a go. What I mean, you're probably on a waiting list to see your medicos, so you've got a bit of time to play with it. But again, don't overlook what I've said about the topical application of that product.
All right, best of luck with everything, Jeff from Holmesville. And Dennis, with that, Jeff is our last caller for today. So we've got about a minute and a half, and we obviously won't get time to open up a conversation with the third herb. But just in 30, 40 seconds, just tell us a bit of a nutshell what the last one's all about.
Well, the last herb I want to talk about, it'll be the last herb for this year, is the quite remarkable remedy, hawthorn berry. I go to the New England area with my dear wife regularly, particularly when the hawthorn is in blossom and when the hawthorn is producing its berries. And we've actually harvested from the New England the herb hawthorn berry and made preparations from it. In natural medicine, if not European mainstream medicine, hawthorn berry is considered to be the most useful preventative and tonic remedy for what Dr. Weiss refers to as the ageing or senile heart. Now, the term senile there in his literature means the heart that's getting old. So hawthorn berry I take every morning. My dear wife will vouch for that because I'm a very aged man, as you know, and I've got that much confidence in this herb to do what it purports to do, that is to support all aspects of cardiovascular functioning, specifically against atherosclerotic activity, and also a specific against anginal activity. I'll talk a little bit more about this, Mark, next week.
All right, we'll look forward to it. And, of course, that'll be the last one for 2024.
Well, indeed, what a pity.
But it's all right. We've signed you again for at least a one-year exclusive deal for 2025.
Oh, how about that? How about that? My heart throbs.
It'll take us till about April to get used to saying 2025, I've got to say.
I know.
All right, Dennis, appreciate you. Have yourself a fantastic weekend.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.